You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
Next up, I'm delighted to invite up Ariel Duranger. Ariel is a Dene from the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation of Northern Alberta. She's currently the communications coordinator for the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, who have recently filed a suit against oil giant Shell Oil Canada. And Ariel comes from a fierce family, including her mom, Suzanne Duranger, who many of us know. So thank you again, Ariel.
Thank you, Masi Chiro.
First off, I just want to say thank you for everyone that put on this event, and thank you for Melina speaking and giving the context to what the tar sands really is and just how big the tentacles and the beast that tar sands really is and how far it stretches and what it can and does do to many, many Indigenous communities within its path. My community, the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, we are Dene people. We belong to the Athabasca region in northern Alberta. Our people extend into the Northwest Territories. The Dene people are strong people. Woo! We have lineage. Our lineage goes all the way to Alaska, and our cousins, the Navajo, or the Dene down in the south. So we are a strong line of people, and we are people with strong women. My grandmother was the backbone of our family. She had 19 children, and she raised them all. She taught them about the land. My grandfather was a trapper. My mother is a strong warrior woman who taught me how to stand up for my rights. And it's the women that hold our communities together and prop our people up. So just to give you a little bit of context, Indigenous people and the Athabasca tar sands. Indigenous people have a strong culture that's intertwined with nature, with the wilderness around us, with the animals, with the water, with the air, with the grandmother moon, the grandfather sun, Mother Earth. We are interconnected with all of it. We depend on it. It is us and we are them. And then we have the tar sands. The tar sands is counterintuitive to who we are as Indigenous people. It destroys the land, it poisons the air, it poisons the water, it kills the animals. It is counterproductive to who we are as Indigenous people. We are at odds with something so close to where we are. If you look at this picture at the bottom, on one side you see our traditional territory still intact. And that picture really depicts the struggle that our people are really in, because on the opposite side we see full-scale development. Those bodies of water that are in little squares, that's toxic tailing. That river system that goes through, that river system is the Athabasca River. That is the heart of our community. That is the life of our community. Our people rely on it. And that destruction is right there beside it. Those tailings ponds are leaching into that river system and ultimately killing our community. So just to give you context of where my community is in correlation to this development, we have down here at the very bottom, that picture you saw, you can see it from outer space. The tailings ponds are so big. That little blotch, it's actually quite a bit bigger, because I think this picture is from 2006. I think now it's probably double that size. That line going through is the Athabasca River, the heart of our community. And if you keep going up, the community of Fort Chipewyan is where the people of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation live, along with the Miccosukee Cree Nation, a Métis settlement, and a non-Indigenous settlement. And we sit in the mouth of Lake Athabasca, which is the heart of our communities. Fort Chipewyan is a fly-in-only community, or you can take the river system, which is getting harder and harder to navigate because of how much water they're using for the production of tar sands. So our community is small, about 1,100, 1,000 people, and what happens in our community and what happens to the individuals in the community affects all of us. So our people, like I said, it's a quite diversity of people in the community. We rely on the plants and the medicines that are found in and around our community. Everyone there knows where you can pick berries, where you can find the medicines, where you dig the rat root, where you pick the berries in the springtime, the best places to go fishing. Most of these people are trappers, hunters, fishermen. And the culture and the identity of who they are still thrives in the community. They don't even see it as culture and identity. They see it as just living and being who you are. Until 20 years ago, some of people say it's as early as 15 years ago, the community with 80% subsistence, meaning the food that they put on the table, the way that they survived was from the land, because we are the land. As Dene Sulin people, we say that we are the land. And this is Indian land. That's what we say when the industry comes up there. We say, this isn't your land. This isn't government's land. This is our land. This is our traditional territory. If you want to do something up here in our land, you need to consult with us and you need to get our permission. You know, Clayton, my good friend Clayton Thomas Mueller once said, going up in Fort Chip, it really is like God's country, because it is. It's so beautiful. You can't imagine anything more beautiful than what it's like up there. I might have to argue with some of you guys that live in BC. It's beautiful here. But being in an isolated northern community is absolutely incredible. The culture there is strong. Like I said, we don't see it as like something different. If you ask people, what's the cultural identity like up here? They're like, what do you mean? Because they don't see it as a separate entity from who we are. So Canada's tar sands. It's the third largest oil deposit after Saudi Arabia. And right now the surface mining is what dominates my people's traditional territory and accounts for about 20% of the oil that currently covers about 550 square kilometers. Currently, there are over 30 companies that are active in the tar sands. This is what an in-situ pad looks like, something the Alberta government calls innocuous or environmentally. It has entirely benign environmental impacts. This is the open pit mines. Keep in mind, this is all within my people's traditional territory, the territories that we have used for thousands of years to sustain our people. And so, Shell. Who is Shell? Shell is one of the largest operators in the tar sands right now. They currently have they have about 5 different projects in the Athabasca region, and they also have projects in Molina in the Peace River region. They also have projects in Crystal from the Beaver Lake in the Cold Lake region. They are one of the huge conglomerates, and they feel as though they can do no wrong, because how could they? They also have international projects. They are one of the largest oil and gas companies in the world, and I've had the opportunity to go and speak to shareholders in other countries. And so just to give you an idea, so they have a joint project that Shell is 60% owned, and they currently are producing about 255,000 barrels per day, and they want to propose 2 new projects. These 2 new projects, the Jackpine Mine expansion, is currently right on top of our traditional territories and would produce an additional 100,000. And the Pierre River mine would be 27 kilometers from the perimeter of our reserve. So ACFN, or Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, you know, we finally said enough is enough. We have hundreds of applications coming before our community saying, here, look at this proposal, look at this proposal. Tell us what you think, but you only have a deadline of 30 days, and if you don't get back to us in 30 days, you're basically giving us your consent. That's exactly how consultation happens in Alberta. So what happens? Our people get bullied into deals because the projects, the bulldozers are moving, the applications are through, government says, oh, they told you about it. So our people take what are called impact benefit agreements. They're basically piecemeal offerings from industry and from government to try and appease us. And our past leadership made impact benefit agreements with Shell for 2 of their current operations to try and compensate us for our losses. And part of that is we said, okay, you want to compensate us for our losses? We want a place at the table with you. We want to know exactly what you're doing, how you're doing it. We want to build your mitigation. We want to build your environmental standards. And they said, okay, but guess what? Shell has reneged on their responsibilities and they haven't lived up to that agreement. So we said, okay, that's how you want to play? We're going to sue you. So what are we doing? We're drawing a line in the tar sands, or in the sand, and we're taking a strong stand now. We're saying, enough is enough. There's too much rapid development in our traditional territory, and we can't survive without our land. We're saying our treaty rights, our rights to the land, our rights to our culture and our identity as who we are constitutionally protected rights take paramount over economic development. ACFN wants no further development by Shell or any other industry until the broader impacts of development and how they affect our rights. How they're going to actually ever mitigate them. Will they ever be able to mitigate them? Because current practices look at the environmental standards as if it's a separate entity. But as Indigenous people, as Dene Suling people, we are not separate from them. So how can you measure that? How can industry and government come in and say, well, we've decided that in order to mitigate this project, we need to build you a compensation lake. I'm not even joking about this, guys. They have said to us, we're going to mitigate our practices because, yes, granted, we're going to take a bunch of water. We're going to destroy some fishing beds and some traditional territory along the Athabasca River. But don't worry. We're going to take a bunch of water from the Athabasca River, which you use as a navigable river system. We're going to put it into a big hole, and we're going to call it Compensation Lake so you guys can still have your fishing rights. I'm not even joking. This isn't the first time they've tried it. This is the second time. The first time, it failed. And they somehow think that this isn't, they're going to propose it again, and that's going to appease us. The whole point is right now, Alberta, industry, they don't know how to even look at our rights. They don't understand our rights. They don't understand what it means to have treaty and cultural rights. What is traditional ecological knowledge? How do we utilize it? How do we move forward? How do we protect it? And they're doing nothing to address it. They say, okay, well, why don't you just tell us what it is? And we say, we can tell you. But how are you going to address it? How are you going to fix it? How are you going to ensure that this isn't going to continue to happen? And they say, well, if you just tell us, we'll do it. Our people are saying, no. You want to fix it? You want to address it? You need to sit down at the table. You need to learn what it means to be Indigenous. You need to understand traditional ecological knowledge. You need to get back to where we come from. So, we've sued Shell. They have these two new projects, the Jack Pine Mine and the Pear River. And the Jack Pine Mine is coming up. It's coming up next month, end of October. It'll happen in Fort McMurray. Starting on October 23rd, ACFN is going to put forward, for the very first time, a constitutional challenge to try and halt the approval of an application in the tar sands. So, we're gonna basically fight them tooth and nail. We're gonna say, sorry government, sorry industry, enough is enough. The status quo of the approval rates has to stop. You can no longer do this piecemeal pity consultation with our people. You need to understand who we are. We need to be sitting down with you side by side because we are nations. And we have nation to nation agreements with the government. And you need to respect who we are. And until such time, it's not going to happen. So, how does that come back to BC? I know I've got like probably 1 minute left. If we continue to allow the expansion and the development in the tar sands, they are going to come up with different routes and different ways to get it to the coast of BC, to the coast of the Arctic, to wherever they need to go. If we don't stop the expansion at the very heart of where it is, where my people come from. And I'm telling you, it hasn't been an easy battle. My people suffer. We have cancers, some of the highest rates of cancers in Alberta, 30% higher than the rest of the province. We have autoimmune diseases. We have elevating rates of diabetes because our ability to practice our traditional diets has been basically taken away from us. Our people are dying. My cousin calls it slow industrial genocide is happening to our people. And we have to stop it. But in order to stop it, we need you on this side stopping the pipelines. But we need you to support us stopping the expansion in the heart of the tar sands. And you can. So please, like, you have the ability until October 1st. You can send a letter to Shell and to the JRP, the Joint Review Panel, reviewing Shell's application at the stopshellnow.com. And you can just do it right online, and you can just say, you know, hell no, Shell, go to hell, whatever you want to say. Or you could say, I stand with the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation. You need to do proper consultation with First Nations. We want to inundate them with as many comments and supporters from across the country, from across Turtle Island, from across Mother Earth. So please, I implore you all to stand with our people as we take on one of the largest multinational oil companies in the world. Masi Chiro.
That was Ariel Desranger, Communications Director of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nations, neighbors and victims to the monstrous tar sands operations in the north of Alberta, Canada. She was recorded at the event She Speaks, Indigenous Women Speak Out Against the Tar Sands, recorded in Vancouver on September 21st by the Red Eye Collective at CFRO Co-op Radio. This is Radio EcoShock with a special on the Canadian tar sands and the fight against the Northern Gateway Pipeline proposal that endangers the northern wilderness and the Wild West Coast.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.